Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Welcome back to another episode of Right Here in Mass. Today's guest is Keisha Greaves. At age 24, Keisha was diagnosed with limb-girdle muscular dystrophy, at which point her life changed forever. Rather than being bogged down by her diagnosis, Keisha decided to channel her energy into celebrating those with muscular dystrophy and other chronic illnesses. She thus began Girls Chronically Rock and the founding of her other nonprofits, the GCR Adaptive Project and the Trust Your Abilities Nonprofit for People of Color. Keisha, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm appreciating it.
My pleasure. Please share more with our audience more about you and what you do.
Sure. So as you mentioned, yes. Hi, everybody. I'm Keisha Greaves. I'm from Cambridge, Massachusetts, and I'm the CEO and founder of Girls Chronically Rock Clothing Brand. Girls Chronically Rock Clothing Brand was founded in 2017 because I wanted to create something to help inspire and motivate others in the disability community. And I know some others may ask, what is Girls Chronically Rock? Well, it is a t-shirt line. That's how I first started out. And how it came about is that I was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy in around 2009, 2010, when I was actually in graduate school receiving my master's degree. So it honestly just came out of nowhere. So as you can imagine, here I am in my early 20s, living my best life, and I get this diagnosis. So I'm just like, what does my future hold? What is going to happen? But I always had a passion for fashion. So I studied at Framingham State University, got my degree in fashion design and merchandising. So at that time, after the diagnosis, of course, I was in denial, not knowing, you know, what was going to happen, looking up, researching what is muscular dystrophy, which is not always the best thing. But of course, that's what we're going to do. And so I was like, you know what? I'm a true believer in things do happen for a reason. So then that's when I kind of was like, you know what? Let me create a t-shirt line because I love wearing different graphic t-shirts, different inspirational quotes that are like meaningful for me and kind of my journey of what I was going through being diagnosed with muscular dystrophy.
I love that. And so with like all of the clothes that you've created, I know it's clothing and swimwear and accessories. Was that because you in particular were having difficulty finding clothes that were inclusive and adaptive and accessible for what you were going through and therefore kind of wanted to be able to provide something for other individuals in the disability community as well?
I must say, like, of course, being able-bodied before I was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy has definitely opened my eyes. Because I wasn't thinking about, say, adaptive fashion or, you know, how long it may take for someone like myself to get dressed. So I'm in like this whole new world and this whole new perspective in the fashion and just accessibility in general. So, of course, just getting, you know, dressed on a daily basis with my caregiver help can be exhausting. And I'm like, people don't know that. So I'm just like, I just wanted to create something. You know, at first it was regular t-shirts, but now I do have the adaptive swimwear collection and adaptive t-shirts, which is kind of like a cover up that can go over the bathing suits. And some people may think, oh, bathing suits is mostly just for summertime, vacation. And I'm like, no, because right before the pandemic, I was going to aquatic therapy twice a week at Spalding in Boston. And I'm like, when I am in the water, I feel like a mermaid because I can do things in the water that I can't do on land. So, you know, with the gravity. So if you imagine for an able-bodied person coming out from the pool, how that bathing suit just sticks to you. So imagine someone like myself. And, you know, trying to hold on for my balance for dear life and taking off that bathing suit. So I wanted to create something more accessible to take, to make it easy to take on and off and for us to feel confident within our own skin. So, yes, it is hard to sometimes find adaptive clothing for people with disabilities, but I'm glad to say that a lot of that is changing. Tommy Hilfiger now has an adaptive clothing line, which I'm so excited because he's one designer I looked up to from small. Target now has an adaptive line and Kohl's. So I feel like more designers and more retail channels are getting more aware of it. Because they did say the adaptive fashion is going to be like worth $1 billion within the next few years.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm kind of glad that I started now. And
yeah, you already got your foot in the door.
Right.
That is awesome. And what you just shared made me think of this quote that I heard before. And I might end up butchering this quote. I might not get it right, but it's something along the lines of your body is not supposed to fit the clothes. The clothes are supposed to fit your body. So meaning like having that adaptive fashion and being able to, exactly like you said, ensure people feel confident and make sure it's accessible and inclusive for what they're doing.
Exactly. I love that quote.
I heard it. I actually heard it pretty recently, maybe a month or so ago, but I was like, wow, that is really powerful.
I'm definitely going to have to use that.
And so in addition to Girls Chronically Rock, you have two nonprofits. So I'd love to hear more about those nonprofits, what they are, what inspired you to start them, all that fun stuff.
Sure. So my first nonprofit is my next baby. It's called the GCR Adaptive Project. And I like to tell people that's kind of like the spinoff of my for-profit business, Girls Chronically Rock. And how GCR Adaptive Project came about is, as I mentioned, being in school back then at Framingham State, I also didn't have a disability then. So I wasn't aware of adaptive fashion, or I wasn't really taught that in school about, you know, inclusive and, you know, designing for people with disabilities. Because I mean, back then, why would I think of it? I didn't have it. Nobody around me did. So it's like, I was just so oblivious. And so I think that's so important now to teach that in schools. So that's how the nonprofit came about. And I'm like, I first reached out to my school where I graduated from, Framingham State, to the fashion professor. And I'm like, you know what? Like, it's time we teach these students. Because I'm like, here I am. You know, I graduated not like knowing about adaptive fashion. And now I do. Because I'm like, yes, I have a disability, but I still like to go out. I still like to have fun, party with friends. And, you know, I want to dress fashionable. I just may need that certain accommodation and accessibility. And so, you know, I'm so glad the professor at Framingham was like, yeah, let's do this. So I've been working with Framingham State now for like over maybe 3 years, going on four. But I am looking to add more like schools on, like FIT of New York, MassArt is on board. And, you know, just trying to incorporating that in these fashion classes, because I'm like, once they graduate, they'll be like, oh, yeah, I know about adaptive fashion, especially now that it's becoming so more aware. And so I just thought that would be so awesome. So with that nonprofit is that I get, you know, grants and things like that, because a lot of people don't know, in fashion school, the school doesn't pay for a lot of our fabrics. They provide sewing machines, yes, in the classroom, but when I go home, I still got to say, like, sew up something. And I'm like, thank goodness for my mom back in the day, because I know I was a nag. I'm like, I need this, I need that fabric. Going to the store, and it can add up. And so I'm just like, wow, like, that was a lot. You know, she was a single mom. And so I'm just like, I would love to just kind of create. So that's how it kind of all came about. GCR Adaptive Project, you know, incorporating that in schools, getting grants to kind of help the school, the students and funding, so they can buy the fabric. They can do this because, like I said, the school doesn't provide all of that. A lot of people may think, but it does not. So that's where the GCR Adaptive Project came about, which I love. And then my other nonprofit, as you mentioned, is Trust Your Abilities. Trust Your Abilities is for people with color that have disabilities like myself. Another challenge in the world that we may face is that people with disabilities, the insurance does not cover everything. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you only had to know of what I have to go through to just get my wheelchair fixed, to get a new wheelchair to accommodate me, it's exhausting. If you hear stories about other people with disabilities and their medical supplies are not covered by insurance, and it breaks my heart. It's like, it sucks. So that's why I kind of thought of Trust Your Abilities, which was actually a logo from one of my t-shirts. So I kind of like to all tie it together. And I love the Trust Your Abilities, like, trust and believe you can accomplish anything. So that's how that nonprofit came about. And once I receive grants from those, I like to donate that. I have like the people fill out the application. What medical supplies do they need? I either may purchase it for them or, you know, write them a check. But I think it's so important, especially for people of color. It's like, you know, that's our challenge of not being heard, not getting the medical supplies we need. So I thought that was important to add on that nonprofit as well. But yeah, saying it out loud, I'm like, I'm doing a lot.
Oh my goodness, you are. I hope I'm you're like, proud.
Yes, I'm definitely proud. And, you know, it's hard and, you know, just trying to manage everything. But I'm happy about it. And I feel good about my nonprofits and my for-profit business.
Yes. And exactly like you said, the for-profit business and the two nonprofits, they all tie in together, which is really nice because you might work with people through the GCR Adaptive Project, who you then end up working with through Trust Your Abilities. And so it's nice to kind of have almost like, I guess a funnel is the best way to describe it, but just kind of like leading people through all these different avenues of support that you have, which is truly wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. I'm trying.
Well, you're doing an amazing job.
Thank you.
Which makes me think of my next question, which is, having these three entities, how do you balance them all while giving equal attention to all of them, but also making sure that you and yourself in the process don't get burnt out or overworked or anything like that with all that you have on your plate?
Yeah, it could definitely be challenging. Like I said, just saying it out loud, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm like, how am I manage all of this? So I just kind of look like, of course, my girls chronically rock for profit is my baby. That was the number one. That's, you know, what was created. And then I put GCR Adaptive like second and Trust Your Abilities last. And I just kind of like how to balance it all. Like right now, like Trust Your Abilities maybe not on the back burner right now, but just, you know, focusing on GCR Adaptive and Girls Chronically Rock because, you know, I'm making adaptive swimwear. I want to get it into stores like Target, retail channels. So I've been reaching out to buyers. Maintaining, trying to get into New York Fashion Week. So it can be a lot. So right now, I would say Girls Chronically Rock is taking up the majority of my time. But I have realized that sometimes, Keisha, you have to just maybe relax, take a time out for a minute. I'm like, your body, I'm already living with a disability, muscular dystrophy. And I tell people living with that, some days I don't know what the body wants to do. I may wake up and the caregivers are ready to take me out the bed. And I'm like, you know, my body's just not cooperating right now. Like, I'm not feeling too well. And, you know, and it kind of sucks because it's something I can't control. And I'm such a control freak. I have like OCD. So, you know, that has been a challenge in itself. It's like, I can't like tell the muscular dystrophy, oh, you know, come back later. I have this meeting. It's like, this has control over me. So it's like all of that I'm juggling and, you know, mental health, all of that as well. Like, tell people, I'm like, it could be a loss. Some days you can see me laughing today and tonight I go to bed and I could be crying. You know, just thinking about what the body, you know, like, why is this happening? Like, am I going to juggle this all? But I tell people a lot of times too, what keeps me sane is watching reality TV. Like, that's
I love that.
honestly, it's like, I could be, like I said, like crying, but knowing I have something on my DVR to watch, it's like that keeps me happy because it's like, it could be from anything from The Walking Dead, Housewives of Atlanta, Vanderpump Rules. It's like, I just love it all. I just love it. Below Deck. Just watching, I think, someone else's life on TV, it's entertaining to me and it makes me laugh and it makes me happy. So I
I
tell
love
people, I'm like,
that.
I'm telling you, like, reality TV, like, that's my baby. I'm like, I'm okay with being at home chilling because I can multitask. Sometimes I'm sending emails on my phone while I'm watching TV. But I think that said that has definitely helped me balance it all. And I tell people, I'm telling you, my TV shows is what keeps me sane.
I love that. And it's such an amazing lesson within that you kind of need to have that hobby or that interest that you feel really passionate about to fall back on so that when things get overwhelming or stressful or a little bit out of hand with all the chaos of that life brings, you kind of have something to ground you,
Yeah.
relieve your stress, and then help you kind of get a fresh mind for the next day.
Yes. Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, and I love that you mentioned reality TV. I don't watch much reality TV, but I have seen all over social media the drama that has been happening with Vanderpump Rules. So I'm like, I feel
Oh.
like I'm invested in the show now just
Yes.
from seeing
Right. It's definitely
the
entertaining. And see, like that, for instance, that comes on tonight, and it's like that's something I'm looking forward to. You know, it's like I'm just like, you know, things like that. It's like it may not be meaningful for the next person, but I'm like, that just keeps my mind occupied off of other things.
Yeah, and honestly, TV is a great like community builder because people bond over TV shows. Like for example,
Yes.
The Bachelor or Bachelorette, people will watch it with their friends every single week, and it just is like a great conversation topic
Yeah.
and things that you can really bond over. So it's nice that you
So
have that
true.
to have something that really makes you feel good and helps
Exactly.
to lift your spirits.
Right.
And so, one of the things that you do is that you also really focus on just kind of fashion ultimately, which I love fashion too, but I give so much props to people who actually design clothes. I'm like, I have no creativity for that. So, I'm
Never
super
know.
curious. Do you like sew and whatnot your own clothes? Do you work with a manufacturer? Like, I'd love to hear the process.
Sure. So when I was in college, I did sew a lot. Prior to that, learned a lot from my mom. Mom, parents are from Barbados, so my mom used to sew a lot of me and my sister's dresses, even from back in the day. But due to my muscular dystrophy has progressing over time, it is kind of hard to kind of balance and kind of maybe sew on the machine. So for instance, my adaptive t-shirts and adaptive swimwear, I work with a manufacturer out of Canada. So he was able to produce. I let him see my pattern and the design I looked, and he was the one who manufactured and kind of produced my swimwear. So that's why I have some inventory now in my, I guess, office space, as you call it. So yeah, so pretty much I would rather pay somebody now just because I'm like, I know having muscular dystrophy, that's kind of out of my hands. It would be a lot for me to produce, like, say 100 bathing suits. Like, I'll be exhausted. That is exhausted. And you know, I want to make sure my hands well balanced while sewing. So, you know, I'm okay with that as long as the manufacturer listens to my ideas, does what I need, and then yeah, so that's pretty much what I've been doing now.
And I feel like almost delegating that and bringing in a team who can help you allows you to do more too, because being one person, you can only do so much because there's only so many hours in the day. So being able to work with a manufacturer, I feel it can help make the quantity increase because you just have so much more resources at your disposal.
Yes, it's true. It definitely helps take a weight off of my shoulder because I'm like, it could be a lot.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'd love to hear when you're designing your clothes and perhaps putting together the prototypes, do you work with like models or family and friends who can kind of help to model the clothing and accessories and ensure it's something that works for them? Or I'd love to kind of hear how you think of these ideas and kind of help to flesh out the designs ultimately.
I'm sure when I get asked this question, I tell people all the time too, when I think of these ideas of regarding like my adaptive swimsuits to t-shirts or different logos on my regular t-shirts, I honestly I notice I get a lot of my creative ideas when I'm in bed sleeping. And that's how Girls Chronically Rock even came about when I
Oh
first
my
started. I was
gosh.
like, I knew I wanted something with the word chronic in it, but I didn't know exactly how I wanted to incorporate it. And I was lying in bed, I remember that night, and something just was like Girls Chronically Rock. So I hear that a lot from different other creators. They're like, yeah, when I'm sleeping too, different ideas come to my head. So I try, and then when I wake up, it may still be on my brain. Or if I know if it's very important, I try to text it to myself, so I don't forget to translate that to say like my graphic designer so they can make the logo for me. But yeah, whenever that does come about, I definitely have my caregivers model some t-shirts for me, which, they love. I'm like taking pictures, because they love and support what I'm doing, and then also helping me at the same time. With dealing with my everyday needs, living with muscular dystrophy. And so, yes, I would definitely have the model come with me. Like last week, I did a fashion show. So, my aide was awesome. She packaged up everything for me by sizes, helped me get the models dressed. And I appreciate that. You know what I mean? Like, that was awesome. So, to have that help, was amazing. But yes, they definitely come through with doing a video. If I have to do like a speaking thing, I'm like, do you mind recording this for me? If I need to pack up an order, they also assist with that. So yeah, they have been amazing, but I definitely utilize them when I can.
I love that. And I love that you mentioned that your ideas come at night because I notice the same thing. And I swear it's because when I sit here and physically try to force myself to think of something, everything that comes to mind is garbage. But it's like when you finally give your brain the chance to just relax and do nothing, that's when it ends up popping in your head. And
So
it's just kind of
true.
like you have to just let it do its thing
Yeah, it's so true. So
ultimately.
see, like it seemed like it's common.
Yes. Yeah. And in the shower too. I know a lot of people get
Yes.
shower ideas.
It's so yep, that is true too. I'm like, ah, la di da. That is true.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Right Here in Mass is brought to you by Melissa J. Pond, LLC. Is your mission-driven organization struggling to secure funding or communicate your strategy effectively? Meet Melissa J. Pond, LLC, an expert in grant writing, strategic planning, and visual storytelling with over 15 years of experience in the nonprofit and government sectors. Recognized with multiple professional awards, Melissa can help create lasting change and improve the lives of those you serve. Connect with her today at melissajpond.com to see how she can add value to your organization. That's melissajpond.com. And for some context for our listeners, Keisha and I met, oh my gosh, I want to say like maybe it was 2016 or 2017.
I
It was a
know,
long time ago.
right? And like, I'm surprised we haven't seen each other in person, but it feels like we have, right?
It
Same thing
has.
with like Liz. When I talk to her, I'm like, why do I feel like I see you all the time? But it's like, and I knew her forever. So it's kind of nice that we like, I have that relationship with you guys.
Yes, I feel the same way. That's one of the biggest benefits of social media, I feel like, is just staying connected with people. And since I met you, you've always been such a huge inspiration to me and to many other people with all that you do. And so I would love to hear if just through your own experience of having one for-profit business and two nonprofit businesses, do you have recommendations for someone who might have a disability who is looking to become an entrepreneur themselves? What would you recommend for them?
I would definitely say when I get asked this question, because I'm like, I know what that was like. First, when I was even diagnosed with a disability, I sh totally shut down. I wasn't telling any family and friends. It's like you couldn't tell me I had muscular dystrophy. And what helped me is reaching out to social media with other individuals that have a disability. And that kind of helped me like, open my shell a little bit. So I would go on Instagram and like hashtag disability awareness, hashtag muscular dystrophy, hashtag like disabled fashion where I met a whole new range of people where there was other content creators and disabilities like me. And I'm like, oh my God, like, look at her. She's doing it. So I would definitely recommend, like, you know, if you were in that situation, reach out to others that you can relate to and connect. Because like I always say, yes, I may get the support of family and friends, like regarding my disability, but there's nothing, and I mean nothing, like talking to somebody who knows what it's like living with a disability every day, and then also plus trying to run a business.
Right.
So I would definitely recommend, like, you know, regardless, it doesn't just have to be disability groups, but look at how I met you and Liz, like from Boston Business Women, or, you know, depending on what town you're in, or I'm a part of like Women Helping Women. There's so many groups out there that I have learned so much from that you would be amazed. And I'm like, I'm telling you, networking is key. I tell that to every even students I talk to. And I'm just like, you know, just be a part of that group. The social media is where it's all at. You can connect with other individuals. So I would say just reach out, you know, ask questions. Don't be afraid, because, you know, I was bold enough and I did that at the time. And that kind of like helped me not just dealing with the muscular dystrophy, but with the business as well. And I even, the other disability influencers I met on social media, I even had sent them some of my t-shirts and bathing suits, and that has been amazing. Cause then, you know, they posted on their social media, you know, someone actually living with a disability rocking my wear. And it's amazing. So I've connected with so many other individuals. So I would say use hashtags, join those support groups, join business women, any group you can think of, because you'll be amazed of what you can find, who you can meet, who you can collaborate with. Because that definitely has helped me along the way.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Community is so important. And that's one of the things where when I was starting my business, I feel like I used to think networking was such a cliche, because it felt like everyone was like always stressing the importance of networking. And I'm like, yeah, networking, networking, whatever. And then it's like, once I got into it, I was like, wow, this is really powerful and can do so much just from the connections you meet, the things you learn. It's so hard to learn everything by yourself.
Exactly. It's like, if only we knew before.
Yes.
Like even when I was in college and high school, like you said, like, oh, whatever, I'm not doing no internship if it's not paid. And it's like, looking back, I'm like, Keisha, why wasn't I doing that? Like, what was you doing that was so important? You had to take advantage, because I'm like, those internships, everything could definitely lead you along the way, and having that connection and, like you said, networking. So I look back, I'm like, shame on you, Keisha, but you were smart, you know, and now I know.
Yes. Always got to say yes.
Yes.
I love that. I love that. And one thing that you mentioned too, that you do with your nonprofits is get grants, which I think is such like an amazing resource to look into for people who have a nonprofit. And so I'd love if you could share advice you have for our listeners who might be in that situation themselves, where they're applying for grants or even just looking for help with how to find the right ones.
Sure. So I would say I am new to that field as well. I must say I was very excited when I first started the nonprofits and, you know, realized, okay, so now I'm a 501c3, I can apply for grants, you know, because I'm like, that's what a nonprofit, like, you know, I want to be able to give back and things like that. So I was just amazed that just even to write my first grant proposal, I did have a grant writer help me at the time, because I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. So I definitely would recommend, there's also grant writing groups on Facebook, on Instagram, where you can reach out to. And, you know, some of them don't charge that much, where if you need that assistance, because I know for me, I'm not like, say, a good writer. And so I'm like, I need that assistance. Like, I have the vision. I can tell you what I want, but it's like to type it out maybe too much. So I definitely work with a grant writer. And, you know, we've got my vision to life, my grant proposal. And I must say my first grant from GCR Adaptive was from ProMobile Foundation. ProMobile was the brand that makes wheelchairs. So I figured I'd try to, like, you know, reach out to, you know, companies that, you know, can support and know what I'm doing, since they are in the same market of dealing with people with disabilities. So, and then I reached out to pharmaceuticals like Sarepta Pharmaceuticals out here in Cambridge, and they also gave me a grant. So to just get approved for those first grants in the beginning, I was just like so amazed, like, you know, a proud of myself. And I'm like, I can do this. And I'm like, wow, they believe in my vision. They believe in GCR Adaptive Project. They believe in Trust Your Abilities. And I'm like, what? You know, so I've just been kind of getting into the swing of things. So whenever I'm on, like, you know, see a grant, and I must say, shout out to Hello Alice, because that is a great way. I've gotten like a FedEx grant for that. They had a FedEx grant for people with disabilities, and I was approved for that. And I just felt so good.
Oh, I love that.
I'm like, oh, so definitely I would recommend Hello Alice. And again, this is going back to support groups like Boston Business Women, any, you know, entrepreneurship group. You never know, they're always posting different grants. So just apply. there've been so many times where I thought I wouldn't get a grant and I did. So it definitely makes me feel good. So I would say just apply, you know, share your story, your grant proposal, just make sure everything is good and answer the questions they want. And I would say, like, you never know, you may get approved, but I've just been very grateful of the grants I've received so far. And I'm going to continue to apply to them and continue to make my mark. But it's definitely been a challenge, but exciting at the same time.
I love that. And it reminds me of one of my favorite quotes that I always am saying to myself, which is, if you don't ask, the answer is always no.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So important to do that with grants. And I love that you gave the advice of working with a grant writer. I think that's huge because, like you said, it might be a couple hundred dollars, maybe a little bit more than that, that you're spending to work with that person. But if it means that that little bit of money you're putting out is allowing you to get granted a $10,000 grant, then it's worth the money that you spent.
Exactly.
So it's kind of like looking at it as paying for itself and just having like an investment.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. So
absolutely.
So I love that. I definitely would recommend a grant writer to anyone out there.
Yes. And I can imagine too that once you write a few grants, they can likely probably act as templates where, depending on the grant that you might apply for in the future, you can perhaps pull information you already wrote from another grant, helping to save you time, which is nice.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I definitely do that. I'm like, yeah, let me just pull from there. Excellent. So definitely. Because I'm like, you know, it's hard, especially I tell people living with muscular dystrophy, it's getting harder just for me to type on the computer or a laptop. So I'm like, just to be able to copy and paste some things, that definitely helps. Or like I mentioned, I hire a grant writer. Some people have a package deal where they not only write the grant, but they may apply, you know, for you, which I'm like, I'm grateful. So
yeah,
I would give that tip of advice.
Yeah, I love that. And one thing that I'm always actively learning and trying to get better and improving on implementing on is making sure that everything I'm doing is accessible and inclusive for everyone of all abilities. And so I can imagine that for our listeners as well, whether they're business owners or career professionals, they're focused on inclusion practices too. And so do you have recommendations for businesses about how they can ensure that they're being inclusive with either employees they might be hiring or customers of their business or patrons?
Yeah, sure. So I would say for businesses, especially with website, depending on the person's disability, a lot of people, you know, requested like, you know, oh, I can't go to this website. I can't look at this because of, you know, their eyesight and, you know, they're blind. So there's so many different disabilities out there that people don't know of, where some people, you may not even know they have a disability. They just may look normal, but you don't know what's going on behind that story. And then as far as like store locations, make sure it's accessible. I'm so surprised, even the city I live of Cambridge, where I wanted to go to the garment district, they're not even wheelchair accessible.
Ugh.
And I'm surprised that they haven't even got fined yet, because I thought by law now, they're supposed to be. So it's like things like that. And then it's like, now that's money out of your business, because I'm like, I'm not going to support you because you're not wheelchair accessible. So just like kind of think about like the accessibility as far as like the smallest things of, even if you have a retail location, just to have that handicap button to press so the door can open so we can wheel in our wheelchair. Because then sometimes I've been to places where the door is so heavy, I'm like, I can't open this, you know? So I'm just like, little things like that where I feel like I took for granted before. Now I can kind of share that, you know, with like, I feel like I was a part of the ABLE community. Now I'm a part of this awesome disability community where I can see both perspectives, if that makes sense. And it's like, make sure it has elevator. Just, you know, we go out too. We just want to have fun, but just make sure, you know, your website is, you know, accessible so people can read it. They can easily access it. And just, if you have a brick or mortar store, make sure it's accessible. Have the button. Make sure you don't have plenty of stairs. We want to shop too. We want to go out. And just make sure you're hiring someone and they put down they may have a disability or may not. Because I know in the beginning, I denied it as well. I wasn't telling employers that I had a disability. When I started working with a cane, I would say, oh, I sprained my ankle or I was in a car accident. That's how much in denial I was. So I can understand someone may not sharing that in the beginning. But if you see something, maybe ask, do you need help with that? Do you need special accommodations? Just to kind of make them feel at ease. Because some people, like I said, are not so open in the beginning to share. Oh, yeah, I have this. And some people are. That's great. But I know I wasn't one of them.
Yes.
Now I totally am. So if you had asked me back then, Keisha, do you see yourself, you know, sharing a business, you know, like about your muscular dystrophy or talking on podcasts? I'll be like, no way. Because it's like, you can't tell me I had muscular dystrophy. So to see where I'm at now, it's like, now I can be a voice. And kind of
absolutely, Absolutely. I love that. And I wish it didn't take a pandemic for this to happen, but I wish remote work was more common before a pandemic. But I think remote work has been a really great opportunity for people who might not be able to get to certain physical locations. So I love that that's providing more equity and more access for different career opportunities.
Yes, that was just so shocking to me. And I think I made a video of that. I'm like, look at how us people in the disability community have been requesting this for years. I mean, I worked at a retail job in the past where I specifically told them, you know, my muscular dystrophy is progressing. I can't stand up. Is there something I can do maybe in the office? And I was denied. So see, it's certain things like that. And then look at now, during this pandemic, it took like not even 24 hours how things shifted. Teachers, the classes you could do from Zoom, all this. People are now, you know, can work from home as long as you're doing your work. And I'm like, you see, this is something us in the disability community have been asking for forever. And I'm like, look how easy that was. So I'm like, come on. Like, I'm like, look how simple that was. You can do it. You know what I mean? So I feel like no employer now can tell an employee, oh no, like you can't, you know, can't accommodate, because yes, it can be done.
Oh yeah.
And it has been done. So that is one thing I noticed. And I'm like, look at that. It took, was that hard? It's like, come on. So yeah, but I'm glad to see it's now, you know, they can see it can be done. It's not a lot of, you know, didn't it take a lot?
You're absolutely right. And this is why the world needs people like you to be advocates and to stand up for people and to be the voice that doesn't get the attention that it deserves, really. It's just being able to amplify. And I think that's really amazing. You amazing.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
And I can imagine that being in the fashion industry and being involved in so many of these different groups and organizations that you likely have many businesses that you'd love to support. But I'd love to hear from your perspective, if you were to pick a few local businesses that are your favorite, what would you say?
I would say for the local businesses that I support, that I admire, she's actually a disability designer herself. She makes swimwear, and her website is called Mega Swimwear. That's her swimwear line. But then I also like to support locally, like out here in the city of Cambridge. I live, two guys I went to high school with, they have a business, a t-shirt business and a dispensary, and it's called Kush Groove. So that's another business I just love to support, because I feel like now, being a small business owner, I think it's so important to support others.
Yes.
You know, especially during the time of, like, I like to support people of color, but just a small business, I'm like, you know, even on Etsy, I would have been buying like candles and different things from there. So those are the main two I think of right now. But anybody that has a disability or have a small business, I'm like, I want to support them, because I'm like, you know, I love it when I get that support and when I get messages, oh, Keisha, I love what you're doing, because sometimes you can doubt yourself.
Oh, know, absolutely.
I do, right. And I'm just like, oh, you like, you listen to Girls Chronically Rock, like, you know, you understand my mission. So that makes me feel so good and inspired and motivated to keep going, you know, and not give up. But I would say those are the two businesses right now, Mega Swimwear and Kush Groove, that, you know, I just love to support.
Amazing. And what you said reminds me of another one of my favorite quotes. I feel like I've been giving so many quotes this episode.
I know, I love them. You might have to send them to me in an email.
I will. Another one of my favorite quotes, which is, when you purchase from a small business, a real person does a happy dance, which is so true. I feel like when you get customers, you get so excited. When I get new clients, I get so excited. And it's nice to know that when you're shopping local, you're directly supporting that individual, their family, helping to put food on their table, helping them to live. It's just really amazing to think about, and just thinking how something that might seem like a small purchase to you can actually make a huge ripple effect in that person's life.
Right. It really, that you nailed it. It's so true. Cause I know when I get an order, like just on Shopify, it could be for just a little bit. I just get excited. Cause I'm like, you know, they're part of this movement. It's like, it's not even, yeah, the money's great, but it's like, all right, they get it. That's more people, you know, representing for Girls Chronically Rock. So it definitely makes you feel good.
Yes, absolutely. And for our listeners, we're recording about in the middle of May. So you've mentioned your swimwear line a few times. So I think it's perfect timing that you're focusing on that, with summer being right around the corner. Could you talk more about that and what you're going to be doing with that line?
Sure. So with the Adaptive Splash right now, with my Adaptive Swimwear, I am looking to hopefully get it in Miami Fashion Week, which they
specifically amazing.
Pretty awesome, because they specifically have Miami Swim Week. And so I've been kind of coordinating with the coordinator out there, because traveling for me now with the wheelchair, to me, is just exhausting.
Right.
If I can just send my, you know, adaptive swimwear and adaptive t-shirts, that would be amazing. So the lady said I can do that. So That is one exciting thing. So hopefully everything works out. I will definitely keep you posted. But yes, I'm looking to get it in Miami Fashion Week, but then also New York Fashion Week, because I feel like New York is not too far. I can, rent an accessible vehicle. My cousins, caregivers can drive me down. And that's in September. And I'm looking to get my line into that fashion week as well. And then beyond that, I've just been kind of communicating with like buyers, like at Target, Dick's Sporting Goods. And, I'm looking to get it into retail channels. Like, I think it's time. I just want my t-shirts out there. I want the adaptive swimwear out there. So I'm just hoping that, one of these retail channels will give me a chance. Of course, Target's my number one choice, but I would just love it if any retail channel would, give Girls Chronically Rock a chance and, have it in the store. That would be so awesome. I'm like, sometimes I just vision it, of how it would
Yes,
look in
manifest
design. Right. Yes. That's what I'm trying. I'm like, manifest
it.
that. So yeah, hopefully that all works out. But in the meantime, I'm excited to get it into the different fashion weeks.
That will be huge for you, especially with the Miami Swimwear Week. I remember seeing that last year and I was like, I didn't even know they did a whole like swimwear.
Right.
So that's really cool. It would be such a good
Exactly.
opportunity for you.
Right. I'm like, so yeah, let's get it
I love that. I love that. Keisha, this has been an awesome episode. I have to say that you've been one of my favorite people to interview because it's just
in.
so awesome to hear about all that you've been doing and the important work, especially that you're doing. And
No,
so
thank
I'd love if
you.
you could share with our listeners where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Sure. So yes, you can check me out online on girlschronicallyrock.com. My nonprofits are gcradaptivep.org, and then Trust Your Abilities is trustyabilities.org. And yeah, and I'm also on Instagram at Girls Chronically Rock Clothing. So feel free to reach out, send me a message. I love hearing from others. And yeah, let's connect.
Love that. And I'll link to all those places in the show notes. That way, our listeners can click through and connect with you from there. But thanks
Thank
so much for
you.
coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.